Thank you, Brother Jay. Good morning to all of you. And I'd like to welcome to those who are watching over live streaming. I realize that a lot of the times when we stand here, I kind of forget to know that there's always someone, not just you guys here, but there's more people, views up there behind the little camera right there. And it surprised me because a lot of the times I do get like text messages letting me know they like what I said. And so it makes me happy because, and at the same time, being careful because, you know, whatever you say, other people hear it. And a lot of the times without you even thinking about it, it applies to their lives, it applies to what they're going through. And so every time we stand up here, what we say is a blessing, not just for us, but for other people. Maybe they were looking for the answer. God answers in any way as he answers your prayers in any way. So that is... I think that is amazing how God works, and that's how he sees it continue to grow in our hearts and perhaps in those who have questions about it, about his gospel. He gives them the answer, even, you know, through behind these electronics. So they are a blessing. They are a blessing, and to us these days, especially right now, that you know, that everything has been more like you can travel far lands and distance with these things. So they make a pretty big difference in people's lives. So I'm thankful for that. And another thing that it makes it easy even for us to study his word too. And on these days, I mean, we have. Of course, we have our books here, and it's nothing more original or legit. You feel the spirit more when you open the books, the computer. But when it's time to search something, well, of course, the computer they really do come handy. But so I would say, like, okay, we are about to start our service. Turn on your Bibles. You know, instead of open your Bibles. But that's how it is these days. I mean, we have to, like, my wife is so classic that she still writes checks to pay bills. I'm like, you got to keep up, you know, with the world. I mean, these days, who use checks? I mean, if somebody's standing behind you, you're paying with the check at the grocery store, you're going to feel the heat. What are you doing? But other than that, you know, I don't take care of the bills. She takes care of the bills. So I'm so grateful for that because I will not know what to do. I do need to learn, but I think I'll do better with my cell phone than with the checkbook. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And I'm really glad to see you all here. I see there's quite a few people in the church, and I know a lot of people are traveling right now. And for those who are watching over, I pray that what I'm going to say, what I have for you today, what God has put in my heart, it applies to your life. And I just ask for your prayers for me that I make myself clear. I have this picture right here that it was a sunrise. As I was coming back from California, and I took a picture of it because it was so amazing to see the sun popping up over those hills as I was driving, and Rebecca was sleeping out right next to me because I woke her up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I was enjoying this, and I'm like, I have to have something that I can put up there for you guys to see, not just black screen or white screen. It was a brand new day. It was not a brand new born day. And And every time that you see that, every time that we are able to wake up and see a brand new day, is like a second chance for us to do right. Right? It's a second chance for to do whatever you think you did wrong than the day before. It's a second. You have a second chance. And that tells me that, you know, that God, like it says in his word, he's not delaying. He's just giving you a second chance. And a lot of people disregard that. Like, they don't, you know, they just, the next day and the next day, they take it for granted. It's going to be another day. But, you know, are you ready from when God called us? That's the main point. Are you ready to be in his presence? And that is what, you know, how we come here, to hear his word. And to hear those words are comfort. And to help us, they will help us to continue on fighting and against those obstacles that we have in life. And not to forget and not to give up the trust and the faith and the promises that we have from him. I was reading the other day, you know, that these days people don't really think that baptism is necessary. That only by faith and grace you are saved. But at the same time, you know, faith and grace, I mean, it says only through Christ you can be saved. There's a lot of wrongs and errors up there. And perhaps I do have errors myself. But, you know, at the end, God will give us that answer. I think that at the end, when we stand in front of him, he will make things clear. He will make things right to us. But the main thing is that we are walking in his steps, that we are following a loving God who cares for you, who never leaves you alone, who's always with you. And that's what gives us the strength for us, that we continue going even into hard times. This picture is really famous of my Lord when he said in looking unto to Jerusalem. And of course, my sermon today has a lot to do with what is today, Mother's Day. Even in Mexico, it's the 10th, which is, I think it's Tuesday. It's the 10th. And I tell you what, Mother's Day for me, when I was a little boy, it was so special. When I was going to school, the teachers there, they will set up some type of place for us to do for the mothers. But my favorite thing was the teacher would let us know, maybe I was 5, 6, 7 years old, and she would let us know, hey, bring a ball and a cup, because we're going to have food tomorrow. So all the kids will walk around with the bowl and a cup, and we either have menudo, and some type of drink like atole. I don't know what as atole is, but how to say in English? It's some type of cornmeal drink, and it's so good. You can either put chocolate on it. But that was like one of my favorite things that I remember. And then, of course, when it was time to dance for the mothers, I will get up there and just do my best. I wish I can have pictures of my my youth, but I tried really hard to find, and I just can't, I don't know. Hopefully someone in my family do have pictures of me dancing or dressing up with the sombrero and just trying to make my mom happy. And what else I can do for her when she care for me and raise me and cook for me and all those things that I can never forget. There's nothing like mama's cook. I think I was her mom's boy. And Rebecca, she mentioned it to me a lot that she believes I was mama's boy. And I believe so. I believe that because I was always with her when she was cooking and the whole one in the kitchen. I was always right next to her, and she would, here and there, she would always roll up a hot tortilla with salt or whatever she had in it, and then just give it to me as I was sitting there next to her. And I cannot forget those things. And so this is our Lord and Savior here. I think that his point here is he's like a mother, that he cares for all of us. And as he's sitting here, he's feeling sorry for the things that are going on and the things that he's seeing up there, that he's trying to do the best he can to guide us and to do the right thing and to help us, because he knows that we are lost. So right here it says in Matthew 23:37, it says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stones them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye will not." That is something that he was having a hard time to understand. Why is it that we have, that you are not comprehended what I'm trying to do for you guys? I don't know. I mean, the things that he did as he was here, it was clear enough. But in those days, it was hard for people to understand what was his point, what was to believe in him or to do what he was saying, to do the will of God, who he was. And just like a mother cares for you, for your children, it's that he cared for us too, and still care for us, and he's still trying to guide us and direct us and the things that we should do. A mother does the same thing with the baby, because they only have those babies with them for just a short time. As we know, it goes really fast. Life goes really fast, and we are here, are like a teachers, like a teachers to them, to show them, to teach them the things that to stay away from, the things that are to keep, you know. And in Proverbs, that says that that you should keep your mom's words in your heart, grab them and change them against you. Don't never forget those things that your mom do for you, and you will do well. You will do well, and it's so understandable, because you can see when they don't listen and when they do listen, our kids. And you know, me being the second child of 10, and like I said, I was mama's boy. I think I was more understandable in my things of life, seeing how couples treat each other. And I promised to myself that I will try to be a different parent, different husband, and more loving husband, and all those things, to have my couple as a life as a couple, to do the best that my family, that my daughters will have a happy life. And I think I accomplished that. I don't know. Did I accomplish that? I hope I did. Trust and obey your mother's words, that they do not doubt them. And we read in Alma 26:56-57. It says, "Now the neighbor had," this is talking about the 2000 something like that warriors, they were about to go into battle. And they were, I mean, they were young people, but if you have read this, you know that their mothers had a lot to do with what they were about to do or going to fight for them and for their rights. "Now they never have fought, yet they did not fear death." They never had any concerns about what their mothers teach them even before. It's like they prepared them to go to battle, and they did think more upon their liberty of their fathers, and that they did upon their lives. Yea, they have been taught by their mothers. That if they dare not doubt, the God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, we do not doubt our mothers. Our mothers knew. So the mothers make sure that they, whatever happened up to you, we will be together again. We will always be together, no matter what happened. The reason that they were fighting is because their beliefs, perhaps their religion, their rights, and all those things that they were fighting for. Even that they were fighting against their brothers. But the mothers have a lot to do with them. And what did they teach them to do? Don't doubt. Don't doubt God. The mothers know. Because, you know, as we all elders, we have more experience. We have experience more than they have in their short life. They trust in the faith of their mothers. But behold, to my great joy, they had not one soul of them fallen to the earth, yea, and they had fought as if with the strength of God, yea, never were men to know to have fought with such miracles and strength. Just the faith that they had and those words that their mothers put in their hearts, it was just enough for them to continue fighting for the rights and for their religion and for their beliefs. And as we go into lives and you teach your children to those things, the things that you should do and not do, that's how they become to be someone in this world. So mothers do have a huge responsibility with their children, even with their husbands. Because, you know, what did God say? Men should not be alone. And how true is that? I mean, my wife, when she went away from for a cruise for 1 week, I think I lost some pounds. I was not eating good. I was not sleeping good. I was staying awake way too late, and I was just a mess. I'm like, what's going on? Every sound around the house, I would just turn around, me and my dog, and it's God knows. God knows how, the things that we need and what we need. And so man should not be alone. So what did he do? He gave us a companion. And that is all it's about, you know. Before the family, the foundation that God cares is marriage. It's marriage. Everything, you know, man comes from the woman, but everything comes, from the woman. But the foundation is marriage. That is the true foundation. We continue. In Mosiah 1:119, it says, For the natural man is an enemy to God, and it has been from the fall of Adam, and it will be forever and ever. But if they yielded to the antithesis of the Holy Spirit and put off the natural man and become a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and become as a child and submissive and meek and humble, patient and full of love, willing to submit all things which the Lord seeth to inflict upon him, even as a child do submit to his father. It's really hard thing to do. But even as a young people, not much about children, but as a young people, it's when you come to the understanding that you have to put up the natural man. and submit to your parents. To my understanding is that when you do that, this is one of the most favorite scriptures for Brother Bill Malone, the natural man. You can't rely on the arm of flesh of the man. We have to rely on God, and we have to put up the natural man too, because otherwise we'll be like a rebels against the rules of our parents. Submit all things which the Lord seeth to fit and afflicted upon him, and become as a saint, willing, patient, humble, meek, submissive. And I can promise you that if you do that, the love of God will rule in the midst of your house. And that is something that perhaps even from my youth, I was into it. I was into it. My mom showed me so much. She even showed me before I left her side. She showed me how to use my fork or my spoon, my knife. She knew where I was going. There was not the same way as she raised me by using my hands. I can eat a bowl of soup without a spoon. Just with a tortilla. I can eat a bowl of soup with a tortilla. I never knew how to use a spoon or a fork. I always use my hands. But so those are the things that my mom teach me to do when I left her side. And I always keep that with me. In Matthew 5:48, it says, "But ye therefore be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That is a hard thing to do, because I'm not even perfect. So I cannot blame you young people to be perfect. You can try to be perfect. And how are you going to try to be perfect? By listening to your parents. By listening to your mom, your dad. And you will say, well, show me how. I guess the best thing you can do, you know, just like one of the scriptures says there, who was the one that did the will of his father when he sent them to go to the danger? Even if you say you are not going to, I know that in your heart, only God knows your heart. But just to please your parents and not follow up with the requirements, that's like saying no. So don't lie to yourself. When I was a young boy, that was a hard thing to do to go to church, right? Because it was hours. It was hours. I'd rather be in my everyday clothes, the dressing with the tie and all that stuff. But, you know, that's what your parents wanted to do. Was say, as you under the roof, you know, we had to follow like a Didi's in my roof. We go into church that Sunday, you got to come with me. So I know that a lot of people have that rule in the house. As for me, in my house, I will follow God. You are under my roof, you're going to go to church. As long as you're under my protection, my roof, or my rules, you follow. So I thought this picture was nice and fit for this day, because that's something that moms, they're always having a hard time, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's not an easy Sunday morning trying to get everything ready to go to church. And it came to pass in Luke 2:46-51. They, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. This is our Lord and Savior when he was a little boy and he ran away. He didn't run away, but he separated from his parents. And all that they heard him were astonished of his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have served thee sorrowing. If I translate this to my translation, I will say in other words, you have me worried. Where you been? Why didn't you stay with me? We've been going around looking for you, but I'm pretty sure that I would have used other words. But in those days, even Christ in his young days, he was working already. He was learning. Our early mother did not understand. His own early mother did not understand. But that's how we feel. We feel worried. We always worry. And to the age that we have to make sure that are ready to go into the world. But I don't know. I mean, there's so much you can say, so much you can do, and perhaps you have missed something. Have they been prepared to be in the world by themselves, for themselves? How to survive? And he's saying to them, and they understood not the saying which is speaking to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and it was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in his heart, in her heart. Being under them rules, he obeyed and he followed them. And he heard their, I'm pretty sure he would listen to everything and to the age or to the time come that he was supposed to go and do his father's will. But in the meantime, Joseph and Mary there what they can to teach him how to survive in this world. And that's why there was those neighbors, they know him, they knew him, and he started preaching his gospel, the gospel of salvation. It was hard for them to understand and to listen to, because they know him, they grew up with him. As soon as he sees Joseph, Jesus, the son of Mary, or the son of Joseph, and he says this and that. So it was not easy for him to do those things. My main point is that he was obeyed, and he was listened to his parents, and he went with them. As all we should do to obey our parents. In Proverbs 22:6, train up thy child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Not train them, but teach them with love, with kindness, with kisses. My Sophia, every time she sees me, she's trying to say well, little, but not yet. She says little or something like that. She fills my heart with love. She fills my heart with love. And I know that Mary has a lot of work to do, but I'm part of it myself too. Nana is part of it too. Everyone who is in her life, you guys are part of it too. Because we all a role model to these children. We all. It's our responsibility. It's everyone's responsibility. In Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. It's like God is watching you through people's eyes. He sees everything. And when we obey and do what we've been told, those are the things that please him. It's pretty simple. There's no other way to explain. It's pretty simple. This will please God. And you know what? And if you do that, you will be seeing blessings in your life. You will be seeing blessings. And why? I mean, there's no question asked. Why? Why am I getting this? Why I have the best job? What is this? Things are happening to me. They're so good. You don't understand. It's because you do the right thing. You do the right thing. God sees everything. This place into the Lord. Everything we do is a good savor to him. Just like when we pray. And if you remember the mother of Moses, what she did, she is a good role model. For her to do the things that she did in those days, we are so glad. We are so lucky. We are so blessed to live where we are, and for you to born in this country. Even now, if you think about it, you know, Sophia was born in 2020, and that's when we had this commotion going on around. The same thing, you know, for Moises, when he was born, he was, you know, years happened when the Pharaoh of Egypt forgot who Joseph was, and how all the Hebrews got there, and so that was a story thing which Moses had nothing to do with it. He was born around that time. But perhaps God had a plan for him already. He was preparing him. Somehow he keep him in his care. And a lot of the kids here, they have, we don't know what the future is. We don't know what the future is for them. Who they're going to be. Someone who's going to make a big difference in this world. Some doctor who's going to find a cure for cancer. Some musician, famous musician, I don't know. Somebody's going to, they have a different gift that God has for them. And we just don't know. We just have to trust and obey. Here we see in this picture that this is Moses' mother who's willing, I mean, who's preparing to let her children going away in this little ark that she built herself. And I'm going to read about it in Exodus 2, 1 to 10. And it says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark and bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with the pitch, and put the child there, and she laid it in the flags by the river spring." Possibly the Nile River. "And his sister stood afar off to with what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maids walked along by the river aside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fish it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then say his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that they may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter saying to her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and they brought him into Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. And she called his name Moses, as she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" So this is a lot of blessings that were here for Moses. Her mother, which I'm pretty sure it was really, really hard for her to let him go into the waters of the river, not knowing what was going to happen to him. So she trusts in God and to keep him safe. It's like I'm letting him go. God, he is in your hands. He is in your hands. And so, you know, what has become a Moses? He was the deliverer of the Israelites. So her blessing was that she was not even to get Moses back, but at the same time, she was going to get paid. She was going to get paid. She was going to get a reward. She was going to get her wages. Even that after 3 months, like it says right there, she has to, or 3 years. I don't know. It doesn't say 3 months was hiding. But some people say that it was like 3 years before she let it go back to the Pharaoh's daughter. But as a mother, it's like, you had to let go your child, right? Especially when there's the first year at school. You know, you have to let them go. I don't know how many books of pictures we have when we let Mary and Didi go to school. And as they were walking with their bags, we were just taking pictures. And we just have so much remembrance of them. And it's very hard. And then you go, come up crying back home. And you just let them go trusting and their choices they're going to make through life. But if we are godly parents, yes, like Moses' mother and father are godly parents because they were Levites. They trust in the Lord. They put Moses in his hand, and he was taking care. And so much that he became the deliverer of his people. You know, Egypt, they were well acknowledged in anything and everything. It's like Moses was in some type of university. And it comes to the understanding that maybe perhaps, you know, he was pretty acknowledged. He was able to write five books of the Bible. So everything that happened to him in his life, it was all prepared by God. But it was a hard thing for his mother to let him go. And for us as parents right now, it is very hard to let go our child, our kids, our sons and daughters. And we just had to trust in the Lord. It's a very hard thing. You know, when my mother let me go out of her side, I was 14. Who lets a boy 14 years old going away? I could have died in my adventure. And I did have an adventure. But I could have not made it. But here I am staying in front of you. And I consider myself that God was looking up to me. It's been 52 years, which is that I applied for this event on Saturday. I'm over 50, so I can I'll be here. And that's pretty good. I never had so many messages and emails about, you know, the things they like insurance, care for the old people, all these things that you should do and how to plan for your future and all that stuff. And I'm like, how do they know that I'm over 50? It's like they're watching you. I don't know. It's like these things. Everything you say, they just record it, and I believe that. And Psalms 91. This is my last reading. And I might be a little shorter, but my wife's like, keep it shorter so we can eat, because it's Mother's Day. So I hope I didn't talk too much in the beginning. But in Psalms, it says, he that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and in him I will trust. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield at buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flee by day, not for the pestilence that walk in darkness, not for the destructions that waste in all noonday. A thousand shall fall at the side and 10,000 at the right hand. By it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reverse of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, the habitation there shall no evil before thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, that they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and an elder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. If we trust in him, he shall cover us with the wings. Like he said in the beginning, when I read that in Matthew, we trust in him, we call upon his name, and we will be under his umbrella of care, of love, that if we call upon him, we shall be saved. We shall be like a chickens under his wings. And that's who we are. And that's all we have to do. And stay away from trouble and listen and follow up his commandments. And he will make our lives easy, happy, and long enough that into the time that we are meet with him, we should be not feeling like in trouble or in terror, but in love and peace, knowing that we have done his will. And as a mother, that's what they want for each of us, to do the right thing, that they may continue doing what they love, to take care of their family, their children, and their husband, their house. I would say there is not enough words that I can use or say how to make you feel so worthy in our lives. And without you, like I said, we will be lost. So I thank you so much, and I hope I say something here that touch your heart, and I will continue praying for you guys, because it's a long way, and it's not easy taking care of children. It's not easy, but I know that with God, everything is possible. Thank you.